Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is Side 2 of For the Record program number 543, titled Hell and High Water, Cartoon Gate and the Dubai Ports Controversy. This is being recorded on March 5th of the year 2006. We're going to plunge right in, and in Side 1, we were taking a look at the controversy that has erupted after a Dubai-owned company was in a position to take over operations at a number of American ports. Once again, one should stress the conflict between reasonable national security and the liberalized dictates of globalized economics. That's one of the sticking points in the Dubai ports deal. And one should also note that despite the wounded protestation of the people in the United Arab Emirates and their defenders in both the Arab world and the multinational corporate world, who basically sided with the Dubai company, there is a very real reason to be concerned about this, with the United Arab Emirates having documented connections to Al-Qaeda in a number of respects. Not only were some of the heads of the United Arab Emirates hobnobbing with bin Laden, Dubai was a major port of entry for the Al-Qaeda-related heroin traffic, some of which on its way to the United States. Dubai is also a country that boasts of its extremely liberal regulations vis-a-vis cargo destinations, and as we looked at, part of the secretive globalized economic dictates that enable this type of deal would basically be inimical to any sort of real security considerations in the United States. And frankly, I think that those who attack critics of this deal as being bigots are actually playing into the hands of bigots on both sides. And we're going to take a look now at the controversy surrounding a Danish newspaper's publication of cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Now, in Islam, it is considered, first of all, iconography is generally frowned upon in Islamic culture. One sees very few portrayals of the human figure, and it is considered sacrilegious to portray the Prophet Muhammad. That is in Islamic culture. It is not that way in Western culture, where religious figures are satirized, including Jesus. I would note, as we get ready to launch into this discussion, that in Islam, it is also considered deeply sacrilegious to murder an innocent person. It is also considered a profound violation to commit suicide. One would hope that in the Muslim world, one would see more protests of suicide bombings rather than just these cartoons. But as we're going to see, the whole Cartoon Gate controversy is far more complex than it has been made out to be. And what we're going to be looking at here, as we have looked at in conjunction with the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, and related elements, is the underground Reich. And Cartoon Gate in particular, I think, affords us something of a viewpoint, a vista, on some of the points of interaction and commonality between European and American Nazis and their Islamic and Arabic counterparts. We're going to begin by reviewing an article with which we close Side 1. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, February 24th of 2006, an AP story by Deepti Hajela. It's it's Dateline New York and reads, it's headlined, Arabs and Muslims Sense Bigotry in Port Dispute, subtitled, U.S. Groups Reject Notion That Emirates Are a Security Threat. See, that's what's so stupid. I mean, it's just, they are a security threat. If you can read and think, just check out what's in Side 1. That is a security threat, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. And when knee-jerk PC types like this react to very real concerns by claiming their bigotry, it simply accentuates the polarization on both sides. This article reads in part, the political furor over the Bush administration's plan to have an Arab company take over operations in several U.S. ports has frustrated Arab and Muslim Americans who fear the opposition is fueled by racism and bigotry. Quote, we are very concerned about the level of rhetoric and the way that there seems to be the assumption that because a company is Arab, it can't be trusted with our security, unquote, said Catherine Abadi, head of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee of New York. Again, this is just literally dead wrong. This is not a question of, because it's Arab, it can't be trusted. It's because there are serious considerations of the bin Laden heroin traffic, the AQ Khan nukes going back and forth, the hobnobbing between leaders of the United Arab Emirates and Al-Qaeda and bin Laden. Those are very real considerations, and it's not bigotry. If you don't want to get blown up or have a skyscraper dumped on top of you, that isn't bigotry. The real story surrounding the Muslim cartoons is far more complex and very thought-provoking than might be seen at first glance. There was a very thoughtful article, a very revealing article in the Wall Street Journal of February 7th of 2006, an article by Andrew Higgins of the Wall Street Journal headlined How Muslim Clerics Stirred Arab World Against Denmark. It's datelined Copenhagen, and it reads in part as follows. Now, note here that a Danish Islamist, basically, Mr. Abu Laban, was the one who really shepherded this controversy around the Muslim world. And the background of Abu Laban, is a very interesting one. It suggests very strongly that he is Muslim Brotherhood. He certainly is a fellow traveler of the most extreme Islamists. And although it's not stated explicitly here, the evidence would certainly suggest very strongly that he was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Certainly he is a fellow traveler. And note, as we read this article, that one of the things that he did was he took a bunch of purposefully offensive cartoons that were never published in the Danish press and included those in the prospectus that was traveled around the Muslim world. And these cartoons, many of which were obviously intended to inflame passions and insult Muslims and Islam in general, featured things like Muhammad portrayed as a pig, and as is the case, ironically enough, with conservative and Orthodox Judaism, pork and pigs are considered unclean in Islam. And as well as one of the cartoons, I didn't see it, but a trusted associate said that one of the cartoons that was trafficked around, not one of the cartoons published in the Danish press, but one of the cartoons trafficked around by Abu Laban and associates to the Muslim world, showed the Prophet Muhammad having intercourse with a pig and Allah in turn having anal intercourse with the Prophet Muhammad. Now that, obviously, that sort of Nazi-style provocation was intended to inflame and insult. It was never published in the Danish press, but in the largely, and this is important, the largely illiterate Arab and Muslim world, that was what was represented. And as we're going to take a look, as we begin our investigation of this unfortunate occurrence, we're going to see that the people who stand to benefit the most in both the European and American cultures and in the Arab and Muslim cultures from this controversy are the most extreme elements on both sides, and that in point of fact, those extreme elements are in bed together. Let's take a look at this Wall Street Journal article from February 7th of 2006. Again, Andrew Higgins, How Muslim Clerics Stirred Arab World Against Denmark. It reads in part, skipping down, The cartoon uproar has fed on wider racial and economic tension in Europe between Muslim immigrants and native citizens. Also at play is America's policy of promoting democracy, which has helped unleash a struggle within the Arab world, largely between secular regimes and increasingly powerful Islamist groups. In this volatile environment, a group of Danish Islamic clerics, angered by the cartoon, succeeded in enlisting help from Egypt's secular government, which has been struggling to contain a potent Islamist opposition. Secular forces in the Arab world, eager to burnish their image as defenders of Islam, provided an important initial impetus for the protests, but now are scrambling to control the fury. From his office at the Islamic Faith Society in Copenhagen, Ahmed Abu Laban, a fundamentalist Palestinian cleric, has been at the forefront of a campaign to force an apology from the paper. Quote, This was the last drop in a cup of resentment, disappointment, and exploitation, unquote, he says. I would add, editorializing that he himself has obviously been doing everything possible to provoke and amplify that resentment and disappointment. Continuing, Jyllands-Posten, that is the Danish newspaper that published him, Jyllands-Posten, a center-right newspaper, first waded into these treacherous waters last fall. Mr. Rose, alarmed by what he considered a rise in self-censorship relating to Islamic issues, invited Danish cartoonists to, quote, draw Muhammad the way they see him, unquote. 12 submitted drawings. One mocked a far-right Danish leader, putting her in a police lineup with a turban, and another ridiculed Mr. Rose in his newspaper, labeling it a, quote, reactionary provocateur, unquote. Others, though, poked fun at Islam. One depicted Muhammad in a turban shaped like a bomb. Another showed a turbaned figure in heaven telling ascending suicide bombers to stop because, quote, we've run out of virgins, unquote. A reference to a reward said to await Islamic martyrs. The cartoons were published September 30th, which Mr. Rose and his colleagues were unaware coincided with the start of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Soon after the angry newspaper vendor called, a second-generation immigrant phoned the paper to make threats against the cartoonists. The caller, who was quickly found by police, turned out to be mentally ill. After a few days, Mr. Rose thought the worst was over. Then clerics in Copenhagen and elsewhere used their sermons to denounce the paper. Ambassadors from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and 9 other Islamic countries requested a meeting with Denmark's center-right Prime Minister Anders Fogh Rasmussen. Mr. Rasmussen declined, saying the state had no right to interfere with the country's free press. Angry local Muslim leaders organized protest rallies demanding an apology. The paper refused, skipping down. This is the background now of the fellow who basically fanned and generated this controversy. Mr. Abu Laban, who grew up in Egypt and was arrested there in the early 1980s after being expelled from the United Arab Emirates for his preaching, took charge of writing statements for the group and communicating with Muslim ambassadors. He denies holding extremist views, but acknowledges hosting visits to Denmark by Omar Abdel Rahman before his arrest in New York, where the blind sheikh is now serving a life sentence in connection with the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Again, note that Mr. Abu Laban, an associate of the blind sheikh, definitely Muslim Brotherhood, definitely Al-Qaeda, and a truly evil individual. And again, the background here, Palestinian, grew up in Egypt, arrested and expelled there in the 80s, looks like Muslim Brotherhood. Continuing. Mr. Abu Laban began working closely with Cairo's embassy in Copenhagen, holding several meetings with Egypt's ambassador to Denmark, Monar Omar Atia. Quote, Egypt's embassy played a fundamental role, he says. Egypt and other Arab regimes saw the Fuhrer as a good opportunity, quote, to counteract pressure from the West, unquote, and, quote, to show people they are good Muslims, unquote, he says. Ms. Ati, the ambassador, says she wasn't motivated by political concerns but personal outrage. Quote, I was angry. I was very upset, unquote, she says, describing the cartoons as an unacceptable insult to all Muslims. She acknowledges meeting with the Danish clerics several times but denies coordinating strategy with them. Keen to, quote, globalize, unquote, the crisis to pressure the Danish government, Mr. Abu Laban and his colleagues decided to send delegations to the Middle East. Note what follows here. Continuing. They prepared a dossier to distribute during their travels. The document, which exceeded 30 pages, featured copies of the published cartoons and Arabic media reports about the controversy. It also contained a group of highly offensive pictures that had never been published by the newspaper, including a photograph of a man dressed as a pig with the caption, "This is the real picture of Muhammad," unquote. Ahmed Akari, a 28-year-old Islamist activist involved in the committee, says the photographs had been sent to Danish Muslims anonymously and were included as examples of Denmark's anti-Muslim sentiment. He denies any attempt to mislead the Arab public about what had been published in Jyllands-Posten. Mr. Rose, the editor, describes it as a clear attempt at, quote, disinformation, unquote. So again, note that these drawings were sent anonymously to people who protested against the Danish paper's publications of them, and quite obviously these cartoons were intended to offend and inflame and might very well have come from white supremacist / Nazi elements. As we're about to see in a couple of minutes, there are indications those Nazi and white supremacist elements are working with some of the Islamo-fascist elements. This is from an op-ed column, David Warren, online. David Warren writes for the Ottawa Citizen, and the full URL, etc., will be available for this. This is a column that he wrote on February 8th of 2006 called Organized Apoplexy. It reads in part as follows, skipping down. From several sources, we now know that word of the cartoons was then carried systematically through the Muslim world to principal mosques, madrasas, and government offices starting in Egypt. This was done by delegations sent by Ahmed Abu Laban, the Saudi-supported imam of Copenhagen. And in addition to the dozen cartoons that had actually appeared in that obscure provincial newspaper, most fairly innocent and one actually satirizing opposition to Islam, the delegation's media kits, unquote, included as many as 30 graphics that had never appeared and by their nature would never appear in a Western mainstream newspaper. For instance, a photo of a man dressed as a pig over the caption, "This is the real Muhammad," unquote. And again, that there were a friend of mine saw some of those cartoons that had never appeared in the paper, and that would, there were ones even worse than that. Again, one showed Muhammad having anal intercourse with a pig and Allah having anal intercourse with Muhammad. That obviously was intended to inflame and insult. That was provocation, and that was sent anonymously, but then that was included in the prospectus that was sent around to the largely illiterate Muslim and Arab world. Continuing here with the David Warren column. The fake pictures not only outnumbered the real ones, they were much nastier. Many were in the style of anti-Semitic cartoons that appear frequently in Arab papers but turned around to target Muslims instead of Jews. And the covering letter, which I have read in translation, was full of outrageous lies about events in Denmark and misrepresentations of what had been said by Danish journalists and politicians. It is this document, and not any copy of Jyllandsposten from September 30th of 2005, that is at the root of the Muslim riots. The Saudi-sponsored pan-Arab boycott of Danish goods and various fatwas and other acts that put Danes and other Europeans who had never previously heard of Jyllandsposten in peril for their lives. Skipping down. For the whole point of this exercise is to enhance the power and prestige of radical Islam over the great number of Muslims who have not been looking for trouble. Simply by recognizing the least reasonable Muslim voices as the legitimate representatives of Islam, terrible damage is done to moderate interests. It is utterly wrong to appease an Abu Laban. Here is a man who gave an interview with Danish television pretending great distress and condemning the excesses of the international campaign against Danish persons, property, and products. But he also gave an interview to Al Jazeera in Arabic, cheerfully congratulating the world's Muslims on putting a scare into the Danes and gloating over the success of the boycott. Alas for him, the Danish television network DR has now shown excerpts from the Al Jazeera interview translated into Danish. This has to be spelled out very plainly to people in the West who don't get it, including ignorant scribes in the U.S. State Department, the British Foreign Office, and the Vatican, who have added their official voices in condemnation of those irrelevant Danish cartoons. Every time we refuse a radical Muslim demand by sticking to our sound Western principles, we strengthen reasonable Muslims against the fanatics. Every time we relent, we strengthen the fanatics. Amen. And again, David Warren of the Ottawa Citizen has here pointed out that the style of many of the most offensive of the cartoons that were not published in the Danish paper but were trafficked around by Abu Laban and company, probably Muslim Brotherhood, to elements in the Arab and Muslim world, were of the same sort of vicious iconographic style that are often used in anti-Semitic cartoons in the Arab press, which in turn, to a startling degree, are simply a repetition of the type of anti-Semitic iconography that appeared in Nazi Germany. Indeed, during Ramadan of 2002, Egyptian state television, not Muslim by any means, but Egyptian state television broadcast a 30-odd part made-for-TV play based on the protocols of the Elders of Zion. You didn't see riots then, and indeed, and as we're going to see, one of the curious responses on the, in some parts of the Muslim world has been to begin, the Iranian government, for example, is holding a cartoon to satirize the Holocaust. There was a cartoon in one of the Muslim countries' papers that showed Adolf Hitler having just had intercourse with Anne Frank, and says, put that in your diary. And the response on the part of the Iranian government has been to hold an official contest of cartoons to attack Holocaust, which is an interesting response. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is all over the Arab and Muslim world, is not an Arab or Islamic document. That is a European fascist and anti-Semitic document. Its dissemination in the Arab and Muslim world comes from the Nazi Arab and Islamist connection that I've spoken about so many times. And I do not think you're going to see Jews bombing people and blowing up buildings and pulling people from cars and attacking them in response to the Iranian satirizing the Holocaust cartoon or denying the Holocaust cartoons as well. We're going to chat about that in a second. Now, one of the interesting things about the whole Cartoongate uproar is that, in fact, it strengthens the most reactionary and fascistic elements on both sides. It strengthens the hand of European and American fascists and Nazis, and does the same for their Islamo-fascist counterparts. And as we're going to see, those two have connections to one another. Very thoughtful utterance appeared in an op-ed column in the New York Times of Wednesday, February 15th of 2006. This is an article by Kamala Shamsi. It's dateline Karachi, Pakistan. It's called Agent Provocateur, subtitled Pakistanis Believe the West Wants Us to Riot. And this is written by a Pakistani citizen. And skipping down, we read, it's a very thoughtful insight here. Listen, said my father, discussing the whole controversy of Cartoongate. Listen, said my father, again quoting, the most important thing here is not to confuse a group within an entity for the entity itself. Europeans, Muslims, European Muslims, most people just want to live in peace. Amen, says Dave, continuing, for us to start believing Europe is represented by its right-wing fanatics would be as wrong as for them to believe Islam is represented by our right-wing fanatics. Indeed. And as we're going to see, there is reason to suspect that the right-wing fanatics in both sides are working together on this. We're going to take a look now at a brief section from an article in the Financial Times of February 3rd of 2006. This is about the controversy, and it says, Muslim outrage gathers pace. It's by Bertrand Benoit and Berlin and other FT reporters. Now, skipping down, we've taken a look at some of the Islamic fanatic responses here. In response to the outrage over and the uproar over the cartoons, highlighting the risk of escalation, the German extreme right Republikaner Party said in a statement yesterday that the outrage marked, quote, the beginning of open war between cultures in Europe, unquote, adding again, quoting, the door is now open for blackmail by the Mohammedans, unquote. The Republikaner Party, a Republican Party as they call it here, is a German fascist party headed up by Franz Schoenhuber, a former SS officer. Indeed, the concept of former SS is a mythical one. And as we're going to see, now note there that again, the controversy here is being exploited by German fascist elements from a party headed up by an SS man, saying basically the door is now open for blackmail by the Mohammedans. What we're going to take a look at now is a review of a section of an article that appeared in an article by... Now, in this article from the Financial Times, again, we have a statement by the Republikaner Party, the Republican Party, a Nazi party in Germany, saying, quote, the beginning of open war between cultures in Europe was started by the Cartoongate, and adding, quote, the door is now open for blackmail by the Mohammedans. What we're going to look at now is a section from an article by Kevin Coogan that we've used in the past. Kevin Coogan, the brilliant author of the book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki in the Postwar Fascist International. This article is titled Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Al-Taqwa. And it talks about some of the links between Islamists, or Islamo-fascists as I call them, and far-right wingers and fascists in other countries. Now, this is an account of a meeting in April of 2002, specifically April 26th of 2002, in which Franz Schoenhuber, the SS man who heads up the Republikaner Party, whose statement you just heard, is meeting with, among others, not only Jean-Marie Le Pen, the French fascist leader, Gianfranco Fini, the deputy prime minister and foreign minister of Italy, also the head of the Italian fascist party, but he's also meeting with Ahmed Huber, not only a Muslim, but a member of the board of directors of the bank Al-Taqwa, and a man who was a protege of Johann von Leers, Hitler's chief of anti-Semitic propaganda. Perhaps the most recent remarkable story concerning Huber comes from a brief item in the Swiss tabloid Blick that in an April 26, 2002 article by Alexander Sauté that Huber was involved in a meeting of far-right leaders from Europe. A photo showing Huber with Jean-Marie Le Pen accompanies the article. The Blick story available on the web is as follows. Mon Pèlerin VD, Christian Cambuzat, the promoter of the right extremist Jean-Marie Le Pen. The guru assembles together some of the top leaders of the European right. On the idyllic Mont Pelerin, they debate their crude ideas. At his secret visit to a spa in Switzerland, Le Pen hardly remained alone. Rightist leaders from all over Europe traveled to meet the extremist presidential candidate, who was hosted by Cambuzot. And then he goes into the attendees. Franz Schoenhuber, founder of the Republican Party in Germany and a former member of the SS. He talked with Le Pen, who constitutes together with Schoenhuber the Front National faction in the European Parliament. Gianfranco Fini, Italian post-fascist Mussolini admirer and founder of the Alleanza Nazionale. He was also at the meeting with Le Pen and Schoenhuber. And note the following. Ahmed Huber, the Swiss, is on the Bush administration blacklist. I met Le Pen at Mont Pelerin as he went to Christian Cambuzot's spa, Huber told Blick yesterday. And again, note that we have, at this meeting, the head of the Republicaner Party, which was condemning the Muslim reaction to the cartoons, meeting with a member of the board of directors of the Bank Altaqua, which is the main financial vehicle of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, as we looked at in some of our interviews with Kevin Coogan, Ahmed Huber has served as something of a liaison between neo-Nazis and white supremacists in Europe and America and the Islamists. In addition to being anti-American and anti-Semitic, their motivation is one of the fatherland concept. The idea, for shortening things, is to have the white supremacists and Nazis come to power in Europe and the United States, and the Islamists come to power, or Islamo-fascists come to power in the Muslim countries, and everybody will go home. The European countries will be just for white folks, and the Muslim countries will be just for Muslims. Well, of course, that's a pipe dream, but that is that fatherland concept is one of the generating principles of the associations between these opposites. And as we've seen, we see Huber of Bank Altaqua fraternizing with Franz Schoenhuber, and yet we see the Muslim Brotherhood joining with the outrage on the Muslim side over the cartoons, and we see Franz Schoenhuber, SS Franz Schoenhuber's Republican Party, generating political hay on the other side as well. Note again that Huber was very, very close to Ayatollah Khomeini and the imams in Iran, and after the cartoon gate erupted, Iran launched a program to a contest to have cartoons satirizing the Holocaust, and indeed many of the Muslims began reacting very viciously, saying, well, gee, you know, in Europe it's considered a crime in many countries to deny the Holocaust. And one of the things that they cited was the recent conviction in Austria of David Irving, a British-based Holocaust denier. A very interesting response on the part of the Muslim world, which is to engage in Holocaust denial satirization. We're going to conclude with a brief excerpt from an article by Martin A. Lee, The Swastika and the Crescent, and what he talks about is the association between David Irving and Ahmed Huber. Concluding, in Germany, he, Huber, speaks often at events hosted by the neo-Nazi National Democratic Party, which publicly welcomed the September 11th terrorist attacks. Huber also befriended British author David Irving and other Holocaust deniers while frequenting revisionist, unquote, conclaves. So with the associations between Huber and Holocaust deniers and with the Cartoongate generation of Holocaust denial cartoon contests in Iran and with Huber's links to the Iranian mullahs, one has to wonder. I strongly suspect that the fatherland concept, which we kicked around in some of our discussions with Kevin Coogan, is being put into effect here with European and American Nazis and fascists on the one side and the Islamo-fascists on the other, both gaining political ground from the polarization that results from Cartoongate. This concludes For the Record program number 543, Hell and High Water, Cartoongate and the Dubai Ports Controversy. This is being recorded on March 5th of 2006. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.